What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik Nier.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
Oh, my name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. I'm not singing back. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Surprise me in rehearsal, Terry.
I told you last week there would be singing.
Now, I will say, oh yeah, you did say that, didn't you?
Because I only listened back to the episode the other day, and I was like, oh, you know, I promised the fans some singing. And
well, I tell you what, you did say that you were going to be bringing Chris Farley energy to the intros, and I must say, I know you really did it. The episode after that, but even the ones after that, you've been given a bit of a hello and welcome. You're a little bit of a going on, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
How have you been?
Yeah, good. You know, I have.
No, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
I mean, you know what? I've been fairly good. We were talking about last week. Or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, exercising. And I've been trying to keep a bit of exercising going. I've been doing these fitness blender home exercises.
Ooh.
So they are...
fitness blender?
That's the Is it brand. A blender? It's a brand. It's the, you know, it's like there. You sign up for the subscription. I don't sign up for this. There's a few free ones online you can do.
Okay.
So you can do like, you know, glute workout or arms, or you know, I did a couple of HIIT aerobic ones that 30 minutes, and yeah, I was delighted to get the cool down going, because I realized that like there's so many how would I say it, exercise, you know, like calisthenics exercise that I have really not done in my life. This guy was like, okay, we're gonna do star jumps, and I was like, oh yeah, I know them, like thinking it was like a jumping jack, and he's like, no, you have to like do a squat and then
jump
spring out and then back into the squat, and then I was like, ugh. Or like some squat where you move your knees in and out, like,
oh,
it's
yeah,
almost like you're dancing. I was like, I can't do that, I'll just do some more star jumps. Like,
I would pay money to see it.
Oh god, I was saying to Faye, will you just stay upstairs, because I am extremely self-conscious about doing this. Like, when we're doing one together, I am like, I know I look ridiculous, so yeah.
I know what you mean. I wouldn't want it. Now, to be fair, I do sometimes do it with Joni, like she'll want to exercise with me. Just gets in the way, to be honest. And I've got a small room. And but yeah, I wouldn't be.
I've still been trying to, you know, keep my 5K going as well. I've actually just set myself the half hour and try and, you know, get as much in the half hour.
See how far you can get.
Yeah. So it's still in and around the 5K. But
that's good.
Then on Saturday I went for a walk with Faye after getting my, you know, my run in early doors. And then I met a friend and we went for a stroll with a bag of cans.
Nice.
This is what
sounds suspicious.
This is what socializing is in 2021. But we walked down the seafront and rambled around for ages. By the time I got home at like 11 o'clock or something, I realized I'd done 39,000 steps.
Nice. And hammered.
Yeah, I mean, I was tipsy.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, my legs did hurt.
Well, you got your steps in. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing.
That's what it's all about. That's what people in the office are always like, oh no, I'll get it from the photocopier. I need to get my steps up.
That's a load of bollocks, though, way of getting your steps up. Like,
yeah, I know.
I blew it all. I had a Chinese Sunday night, like, because I was slightly hungover. So
I had one a mere 30 minutes ago.
What'd you get?
Spice bag and salt and chili chicken wings.
Nice. Now, if you're getting chicken wings from a Chinese, I think the only way to go is salt and chili.
I need to go dry with my wings with the Chinese.
With the Chinese only. I think, though, that with certain places, you got to go Louisiana hot. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know? But from
a
Chinese,
at home, I'll put some hot sauce
on it. Would you use Frank's?
No, there's some, I don't know what we have, some Cali.
Oh, Cali is, yeah, you know.
It's no joke, I'll tell you that anyway. Anyway, have you been up to much, Terry?
No.
Apart from what I've just said.
No, I've watched a few things as well. Are you cracking a can there?
It did not sound great,
my friend.
Yeah, well, I just cut my nails, so I
delighted. You mean you just cut, like, as in with a scissors, or you cut it trying to open the can?
No, I cut it with a scissors, but it doesn't have the same tap.
What a sap. What a sap you are.
What do you do?
I bite them. Of course I bite
you
them.
You bite them. You fucking savage.
Of course I bite
you
them.
You bite them.
Yeah.
They've absolutely no continuity there.
What do you mean?
Like, now, can I ask you a question? When you bite them, do you get like a little corner sticking out and then you just rip across? Mm-hmm. Or do you bite
there
like
you go, right there.
End,
I just did it.
Middle, other end?
Depends how it breaks, really.
I'm sorry now. You're the animal here. You're George the Animal Steel here.
I can't be taking the time to like get a scissors in.
Surely it would take longer. Human teeth versus a nice interlocking scissor.
They're too small.
Barbarian.
They're too small.
Get bigger ones or get a clipper.
Clippers.
No, I don't know. I don't use clippers, but I don't use my teeth.
Anyway.
What have you been watching?
I watched a movie on Friday night.
Yeah. A
film called Promising Young Woman.
Okay.
Starring Carey Mulligan. You know who Carey Mulligan is?
Nope.
Have you seen Drive?
Nope.
Right. The Great Gatsby?
Nope.
Let me see.
And I want to because my man is in it, but.
Yeah. Maybe it's I'm trying to think which ones. If she's in a bunch of stuff, and I'm just trying to think.
The name rings a bell, all right.
You know, she's been nominated for Oscars, and let me see. Mudbound Suffragette. She's
yeah,
in.
I know her. Okay.
She's in Inside Llewyn Davis. Did you Google her?
No. Yep. Oh, her. Yep.
You didn't Google anything.
Go on anyway.
So the movie itself,
By the way, sorry, I noticed you that there is an Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack on my Dropbox. Did you leave that there? Was that a bit of friendly fire coming your way?
I left it. You know what? I put it in some. Remember, I was asking you about how to send stuff on a Dropbox.
Yeah.
A loyal listener DM'd me to see if they could get the soundtrack, and me being the generous gent that I am, I said, "Sure, for you, anything."
Who was it?
I'm not going to...
Give me the name.
I'll give you the initials.
How dare you have contact with the fans instead of me.
I'll give you the initials.
Yeah, go on.
T.K.
Got it. All right, fine. Okay. He's more your friend than mine. I love him, but you know, I don't know him as well as you do.
Yeah, okay. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anyway, so... The movie itself, the premise is very good.
Yes.
The premise is there's a woman, a promising young woman, the titular promising young woman, Carey Mulligan.
Excuse me?
The titular promising young woman.
I don't know what that means.
So she poses as a drunk lady in nightclubs in the hopes that men pick her up and then she kind of scares them straight.
Right. You Comedy, know? Is it?
Kind of, because, how would I say it? It doesn't know what it wants to be. Like, it basically, the whole reason she does this is because her friend was, like, raped when she was drunk by people. And, like, the two of them dropped out of med school at the time because it was people in their med school class that did it. So it's kind of dealing with, like, he's the guy who did it has a great life now, and
right. She
has basically she was like top of her class in med school, and now she's making this thing her calling.
Right.
I was kind of hoping that it would either go one way or the other. I was kind of hoping it would
either all comedy or all drama.
Not even that, but it was like lean into a bit more of a like, you know, exploitation. Like take revenge, I kill the people or whatever like that.
Yeah,
you know that kind of way. But you know,
sounds terrible. Was it?
not terrible. There's certain.
You tell me something's terrible. You tell me.
But the thing is, it's not terrible. But I was disappointed. Okay.
Okay.
Is that good enough for you? I would never say
it is, because if you're disappointed with it,
yeah,
because you're mining for gold in even the biggest piles.
I will tell you, Andy.
I think
in every film I watch, most of the time I will find something that I'm like, well, that's interesting. And if you can do something interesting,
I love that.
If you can do something interesting, I'm like, you know what, good. But certain.
Can't wait to talk about the movie. We
the
both
Patreon.
Watched.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it either.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so that's what I watched that over the weekend. It was good. I tell you what,
can I stop you and tell you something I watched in betwixt
sure.
your watches? I watched 30 minutes of, should I say, Jexy.
I've seen that movie.
Adam Levine yeah. has some operating
Is it Levine?
System.
Oh, okay. I thought it was yeah. Divine. Never mind then.
I think it's Levine. Yeah, well, it's Divine. Divine sounds wrong.
he has like, what is it? His phone.
His phone is like
running his
know,
life, essentially.
Yeah, but it's all like, don't be a little bitch. Ha, ha, ha. Like that sort of
Rose
stuff.
Rose Byrne is, you the, know I remember what it was? She's the voice of the phone.
Yeah, who?
Rose Byrne. Yeah, you're one from Neighbours. The Seth Rogen movie.
She is funny. And I'll tell you, you know, the phone is kind of funny. But the problem with it was, me and Kerry were both saying the same thing, that was like, it gave you something to laugh at like every 5 minutes. But the 5 minutes in between laughs
were intolerable.
Yeah. That's the only way I can describe it. And I'm like, there's so many times where it's like, I'm going to turn this off now. Like, oh,
who,
like, all right.
Who
then.
Was the girl in it?
I don't know. I don't know who any of them are.
Oh, okay. Good.
You're talking to the wrong bloke. But, it was shite. So, but it was kind of not shite.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a big fan of him.
You only watched, you know.
It seemed like a
half
movie
an hour
that
of it,
didn't.
Like.
It's surprising that a movie like that got made in like 2020 or whenever it came out. It seems very 10 or 15 years ago. You know what I mean? All bright, super happy. Story's been done a million times, just with a different sort of twist.
I think that's why I liked it. That, like you're saying, that it was like super happy or whatever, because it came out in like, or it was on Amazon at the start of 2020. I think we just got into lockdown when we watched it.
Right, okay.
And I was like, I did like seeing Ron Funches get a, you know, he was like his friend in it, wasn't he?
Who's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's good.
He's good,
yeah.
He's a good stand-up.
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure now, to be honest, but. Go on.
Have you started watching WandaVision yet?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Yeah, I've watched the first three. Well, it's...
And?
I like it. I quite like it. But I didn't realise that this is actually the start of Phase 4 of the MCU. The TV shows are, you know, Phase 4. It's the start. It started, Andy.
What are we still doing here? Why are we doing a podcast on?
I was thinking we do like a Patreon episode on the series rather than, you know.
Yeah, an episode. Yeah.
We just do one episode.
How many
episodes?
How many are
there? There's 9, but they're only 25 minutes apart.
Right, okay. It seems like it's something that I'm either going to absolutely love or 5 minutes in be like, nope.
See, that's you know the thing. I mean? The 5 minutes in, you probably will be like, nope. But then there's all these little things. You're like, what's going on? Like, there's all this stuff happening that it's like, okay. The whole thing is that it's like the first episode is like a 50s sitcom. So it's like Dick Van Dyke or The Honeymooners.
Yeah.
And the second episode is like the 60s. So it's like Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie, and then the last one was like it was the Brady Bunch style or whatever. But in between, especially in the last episode, I was like, what the like all this stuff starts happening that it's like, I don't know, there's weird shit going on, and you're like, okay, the sitcom element of things is like the set dressing, but really there is loads there's a mystery, there is a central mystery. It's got my theorizing juices flowing, if you would say. Mm. Like when I used to watch Lost, I'd always be like, ooh, what does that mean? Mm.
Can't we go...
No, we can't, Andy. No.
Without Lost, the series from 20 years ago getting mentioned.
16.
They were making it up as they go along.
16 years ago. 16.
You know what? I loved Lost and I never even seen season one.
The best? Well,
I know.
I mean, it was a great...
That was the best. I haven't even seen it, but it was. That was when they actually had it.
I actually think season 5 is the best when they start getting all timey-wimey.
I don't want to get into it, to be honest. Well, I don't remember a single
You opened this door, counselor.
I did. I'm sorry.
What else you? What have you got?
Well, I'll tell you what I've been up to, Terry. Thank you for asking. Now, you may first notice, Terry, that I am in a new little... See my little setup I got going on behind me here?
Yeah. Hold on.
I've just spilled Coke all over. Hang on.
Oh, dear.
Bollocks. Right, hang on. Just bragging about my new setup, and I spilled a can of Coke over.
Is it okay?
I need to get a towel. Yeah, it's fine. Luckily, this keyboard was already broken. God, well, this is embarrassing. My laptop. No, oh, fucking hell. Hang on.
It's okay. Yeah, you work away. Well, folks, it's just you and me, huh? Oh, well, let's see what's going on in the football. Man United are losing. Second in the league, Man United are losing to bottom of the table, Sheffield United. What is going on? In other news, let's see. Let's see what's in the news. What's going on Twitter here? Nothing. Oh, something about GameStop, I see.
Jesus.
Let's see.
Right.
Whoever Halsey is has announced that she is pregnant.
Who?
I'm talking to our listeners.
Oh, okay. So anyway, where was I? Anyway, yes.
You were saying something about your setup, your style.
I'm in a cool new setup. I got my record player over there.
What's this? Have you got a curtain in there or something on your left?
Huh?
Is that a wall?
It's actually a blanket. This is the toy room, as it was once known, which has now been slowly turned into my room. So I've wasted no time in redecorating.
Okay, that's just... I see over your shoulder there. Other one. Oh, yeah. So, like, the pattern behind you there, see, that's not the toy room I know.
That's because I'm normally on that side. I'm normally facing there.
Ah, okay.
Now I'm giving you more to look at. Anyway, so I'm very happy with that.
Cool, cool.
I had a very stressful day in work, Terry. Thanks for asking. Two events on at the same time, streamed virtually.
We're talking about classic sitcom tropes. There's one right there.
What?
Two events on at the same time.
Tell me about it, Terry.
The Flintstones. The Pebble's birthday and the Water Buffalo meeting.
I'm unfamiliar with the franchise, to be honest.
Of the Flintstones.
I know who it is, but I don't. Anyway,
what are we doing here? Why are we doing this podcast? You don't know the Flintstones.
I know who they are. I don't know the storylines.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. The only thing I remember about the Flintstones is that they smoke.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
They had a dinosaur as a dog and a saber-toothed lion as a cat.
I know, and the car
that's the
they
only
run.
Thing. That's the only thing.
That's the only thing I actually remember.
It's a living.
I nearly knocked over.
Take the Coke away.
I nearly knocked over my other drink. I have two drinks. I nearly knocked over the other one. Look, I don't know. My day in work was stressful, but it's fine now, okay? Cool. Did we get into The Simpsons or what?
Yeah, great. Nothing else?
No, not really. No, I got nothing.
You're not watching it?
Yeah. Let me tell you, I fucking hate WebEx. Thank God we're using Zoom. Do you use WebEx at all?
What's WebEx when it's at home?
Terry, it is a fucking...
Andy, I will clue you in. The program we use in my job is akin to DOS. Like, there is actually like a blinking black dot. And it's all like text prompts, you know.
Command Alt Shift.
Kind of like pretty much like that. It's like
run hospital.
Yeah. Vent poisonous gas.
There's got to be a better way. Y-E-S.
Give me a Y.
WebEx. I can't believe that this crowd are like actually in business. It's like a Zoom type thing. It's been around for ages, and my company loves it because some people can't use Zoom, and WebEx has this security tag, like it's security conscious or whatever. But the interface and the customer service and everything else about it is a massive pain in my arse. So that's kind of all I've got, right, to be honest. But it's a massive pain in my arse.
Cool.
Terry, I'm just going to crack on here, and I'm going to ignore that, frankly, rude response to my great WebEx story and ask you if I can talk about The Simpsons, please.
Yes, of course. Now, let me just finish that wine. No, finish that wine.
What are you drinking tonight, pal?
I'm drinking nothing. I had a Coke Zero, and then we were a bit delayed, so I drank the Coke Zero.
Oh, I see.
So, well, you know, hope you feel happy about that.
I don't, to be honest. Yeah, folks, a little peek behind the curtain here. I texted Terry earlier to be like, hey, pal, can we do 8 o'clock this week? Because last week I thought it was 8 o'clock, and he's like, oh, I thought it was half 8.
So half 8 is our standing midweek arrangement.
You know? I thought it was 8.
8 is Sunday, my friend.
Oh.
You're living on Sunday time.
And so I texted him, I was like, can we be ready for 8? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then I had to text him about an hour and a half ago, and we're like, listen, can we make a half 8?
Tell you what, I was fucking furious.
Anyway, listen, I'm going to plow on here.
Give me some. Hit me.
I'm talking to you, if I can talk to you, about the 19th episode of The Simpsons' 7th season, A Fish Called Selma, which aired in the United States on March 24th, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you, I've been looking forward to this one. The episode was written by... where does it tell me?
Get it together,
Andy. Jack Barth. Fake name.
Yeah, I was going to say, who didn't want their name on the script?
I know. And Mark Kirkland directed it. Barth's script underwent a substantial rewrite in the show's writing room, including the expansion of the Planet of the Apes musical and the addition of the song Dr. Zaius.
Well, thank God. I hope he's not allowed near, you know, the Simpsons writing staff again, because Jesus, what would the episode have been without it?
I know. It's really, I mean, we'll get into it. I don't want to blow my wad here, but the episode ran too long because...
I love you, Dr. Zaius.
It ran too long because of Troy and Selma's speech, and Jeff Goldblum had to re-record his dialogue as MacArthur Parker so at a faster speed.
That's the other talk. Were they saying that about, was it Kirk Douglas they were talking about, or was it that was too slow as well? One of the other guest stars. Was it Kirk Douglas or was it Don Brodka?
Might have been Don Brodka. I think Kirk Douglas just refused to do anything more than twice. And refused to wear headphones. So he couldn't hear any direction from the room. Now, if I can hit you with a bit of production, Terry.
Please.
Oakley and Weinstein were huge fans of Phil Hartman, as we all are, and I'll tell you right now, everyone listening, there's going to be some serious gushing over Phil Hartman in this episode.
You might want to make sure that your other equipment isn't damaged by the amount of gushing that's coming from you, can't
we? Oh, it's going to be.
Yeah.
They decided to produce a whole episode entirely about his character, Troy McClure, to give him as much to do as possible. The writers chose a plot idea of Troy's marriage to Selma because she was, quote, always marrying people. And it says, it was the first draft. The first draft was written by freelance writer Jack Barth, although the rest of the writing staff completely rewrote it. It's amazing that he still gets his name on it.
Well, you know what? Like, I think it's the Writers Guild Association or whatever. They've mad rules. Like, all those guilds. Like, remember we were doing one of the Marvel episodes, your man who wrote the first draft of The Avengers still has like a screenplay credit, even though like Joss Whedon was like, I threw out everything he had written, but just because he had written that first draft, his name is still on the script. Like,
that's mad.
Yeah, crazy.
Getting or, bank or as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he gets a cut.
Oakley commented that he has the chimpanzee to chimpanzee line written by David X. Cohen was the line heard all over the world.
the piece de resistance.
And it's interesting you say that, because isn't it funny how like the best things always seem to like happen so quickly? You know what I mean? Like the best songs or the best, you know, like all this sort of stuff. It seems to be real like quick, like, oh, it took me an hour to write and then we recorded it. But you know, like all those just spur of the moment, like, you know, flow sort of thing.
It's when you're feeling it, doing the bull dance, feeling the flow.
Several of the staffers commented on how writing the Planet of the Apes parody generated a great deal of enthusiasm in the writer's room, and Oakley described it as one of those rare bursts of creative brilliance. A lot of the things that people remember and love on The Simpsons were horrible late night grinds, whereas this was just a magic visit from the joke fairy.
I would say it was so fun, like being the energy or getting the juices flowing around that, like it's just an inspired idea, I think.
Yeah. It's brilliant. Yeah. And so a few scenes had to be cut, including Troy's bachelor party, which I really wish I could have seen, because that sounds hilarious.
I kind of figured that him at Moe's was his bachelor party, you know. Like.
And it's funny, because that does kind of seem slightly like out of place tonally to the rest of the episode. You know what I mean?
Looking back at it this time, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. There's no build up. There's no preamble. It's just you're there with them at the bar.
We're there and stinking drunk.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, Jeff Goldblum re-recorded his dialogue to
shorten. I tell you, they're hitting it out of the park with these guest stars. To be honest, you pick the perfect person to play. You know, like you don't even realize it's Jeff Goldblum. The first couple of listens around. It's only it's 2020 and Jeff Goldblum is a brand almost, like that you're like, of course, but he's doing this, you know, 25 years ago.
It was interesting to see him as like Jeff Goldblum as another character instead of as Jeff Goldblum.
It's great, like.
Instead he wasn't like, Troy, MacArthur Parker here.
I think much better. Energized or upbeat or something like that. Like,
it's proper. It's way more acty,
but in a good way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I said to you, I'm not sick
of
him.
Don't tell me you've had it.
I've had it with him. I'm not sick of him. I'm just like, okay, like show me another trick now. You know, you're just coasting on this. You know.
Yeah.
It's Jeff Goldblum's guide to everything, and it's like every character he plays. Is Jeff Goldblum, like you say, it was just Jeff Goldblum in like, just like
that was the biggest example of it.
He's like, okay, you're a space alien, okay, cool, yeah. I'll just hold this big stick and be me, great, isn't he just okay, Lord of Thunder?
I can't argue with you, but I still love it.
Yeah, I know. It's good and it's effective. I get you, though. But like, I'm like, come on.
Enough already.
Yeah. Enough already.
The writers initially, they knew that they wanted Troy to engage in paraphilia.
Is that the fish thing?
Well, it's the experience of intense sexual arousal to atypical objects, situations, fantasies, behaviors, or individuals.
Such a good running gag. Like,
let me just click on the link here, see some examples of paraphilia.
I'd say like pillows or chairs and stuff like that, or like a table. Lamp. I love lamp.
Oh, it seems a little bit dark here, to be honest.
Oh.
It's going to back out of this.
Well, you're tagged. I hope you're in incognito mode. Open new incognito tab, you should have said.
I was just researching for a podcast. If you're looking at me, government, show me camera.
I break in. Anyway,
the writers didn't know what they wanted.
Get off
the
on unsavory. Fish, yeah, boy.
You son of a bitch. Yeah, you're fried. They decided on a fish fetish. 50, which was 60? Hitchhikers for whole life?
I don't know. It was never a big deal where I came from. Andy, we found the fish in your car. You want to tell us about him? Oh, that?
Yep. Here, this is the last point of it. Thanks. At the episode's table reading, an attendee exclaimed that the line from now on, she's smoking for two. They said that that has got to go from the script. However, her request was denied. I mean, what is that? An attendee says this shouldn't even be on Wikipedia.
I could understand if it was standards and practices.
Yeah. But, just some nobody. It got a Nielsen rating of 7.8 and was the sixth highest rated show on Fox that week.
Slipping down.
Yeah, but now it got loads of great reviews. Entertainment Weekly places it 8th on their top 25 Simpsons episodes. Empire in 2004 called the episode the high point of the show's long-standing love affair with Planet of the Apes and cited it as McClure's finest hour.
I think looking at it now, I don't know how the ratings average out or whatever, but like I really feel like we're in the midst of its strongest run since we started the podcast.
I think so too. Personally, for me, I am enjoying them the most.
Yes. And looking to next week as well, I'm like, Jesus, just another one. I know. It
wouldn't be up there, especially in the Nielsen ratings.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Double what it was, now. Now, I did put out a little poll you might have seen on Twitter. I
sure did.
To see if this episode, Fish Called Selma, ranked as other people's favourite Troy McClure or Phil Hartman episode. And a whopping 47% said yes. Tied close with Marge versus the Monorail at 40%. The two big ones. A few other people have Marge and Chains, 138th episode, Spectacular.
Hello.
Spin-off for me,
Showcase is also another good one.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like this is the best of Phil Hartman, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It may not even be, I still think it is probably the funniest Phil Hartman centered episode. But it's just him it's the lines he delivers, the way he does. It's a masterclass.
For me, Troy McClure is his best character, and giving them the bulk of the episode to center around Troy and kind of flesh out his kind of thing. Because, you always get the little snippets of him here and there or whatever, but and it's always very funny. But now when you're actually and you see how pathetic and weird he is, and it's so funny. Just everything he says in this is gold.
Every line. Now, before we do get into it, hold your horses there, Terry, because we've got an email.
An email
from, apologies for my pronunciation, Fionnbar Brennan. Well, it's spelled different. Fionnbharr.
I would say it's probably Finbar.
I would say 100% you're right. Finbar, apologies. His email reads...
Really are going out of your way to make us lose listeners.
Good morning, Agent Johnson. The film you're about to see is top secret and contains adult situations. Quick question, lads, that kind of relates to A Fish Called Selma. With Troy McClure being famous and whatnot, I want to know what is the best and worst encounter you've ever had with someone that would be considered famous. Name and shame if possible, please. Thank you for all the great content you've been providing and keep up the great work. Toodaloo, Finn.
Andy, have you ever met a celebrity, quote unquote?
Not really, to be honest. No? I once saw Father Ted in a bookshop in Dunleary. I know.
Wow.
He looked pretty grumpy.
Oh, that's a shame.
But by all accounts, I hear he's a complete bastard. I'm sure I can, if I maybe think of something, but not really.
Sharon and Violon used to come into the shop all the time.
She did, actually, yes. Why did she?
Easy, Tiger.
Go on then.
So... For all you sports fans out there, I was in Newcastle with a few of my friends for a trip. We went over to see a game. I'm not a Newcastle fan, but a couple of the lads there were. So they were very excited. And Kieran Dyer, of all people, he hadn't been playing in a long time. He'd been injured. I remember, actually, I stuck a few quid on him to get first goal, and he did. So that was drinks on the house for everybody.
That was that, around, that night.
That was I got a when we went to the game, like we went to the bookies before the game and stuck.
All right.
I stuck a £5 on him to.
And did you tell him that?
No. So I barely got to talk to him, but like, because my friend, who was a big Newcastle fan, we met him. There was a load of Newcastle guys in the club where we were that night.
As they say, yeah.
So Obafemi Martins was Nigerian lad, so super nice.
I'd say so.
He was great. Celestine Babiaro was also there.
Sella.
A bit more standoffish. He had a big entourage with him.
One of my favourite footballing names.
It's a great name.
Celestine Babiaro. Yeah,
it's really
brilliant.
But Kieran Dyer was there, and my friend,
the worst of the three.
Yeah, my friend, he like went up to him. He's like, "Oh, look, great to see you back playing today after being so long. Great goal." I was like, "Do you mind if I get a picture?" He ran to the right and was like, "Yeah, make it quick." I was like, "You are a fucking asshole! Like, what a dickhead, huh?"
I think of that. Oh,
man, it's after being so earnest, and he's like, "A big fan, great to see you back, you know, after all your injury problems. Yeah. Great game today. Yeah, make it quick."
What a fucking, just say cheers.
Yeah.
Even like, even nothing would be.
I always remember our friend Sean Harnett when he met the Spurs football team.
Go on.
And he was like, Tom Huddleston, was that his name?
Yeah.
And he's like, he turned around to him and he said, "Oh, geez, I think you're a great footballer. I love the way you spray the ball around." And your mom's like, "Yeah, cheers, Andy Gray."
What a fucking prick.
That's great, though. Like,
cheers, Andy Gray.
Yeah, cheers, Andy Gray. And he got a big laugh. He got a big laugh out of it, like, everybody that was with him. But the one I was going to say, which is slightly better, was he took it in stride. Was Al Murray. I was on a snolliday, Andy. A snow holiday.
Sorry?
A snolliday.
Okay.
A snowboarding holiday in Austria.
Oh, a snolliday, sure. Yeah.
In Austria. There was this, it's what do they call it? The Altitude Comedy Festival in the town, in Meierhofen in Austria, right?
Yes.
Andrew Maxwell, Irish comedian, is like the... He runs it anyway. So he's the compere on the show, I think, every night.
Okay.
But Al Murray was there. I think this is the second time he went. Al Murray was on the slopes. And I said to Faye, "Oh, there's your man Al Murray. Do me a favour. Go over to him and say, ask him, was he on the Harry Hill show?" The Harry Hill show had been finished for like, I'd say 10 years at this stage. So he was very much known as the pub landlord, was his big shtick.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Faye went over, she's like, "Were you on the Harry Hill show?" And he was like, "Yeah, quite a long time ago." And then Faye was like, "Oh, he told me to say it to you," and like pointed over to me, and he's like, "Tell him he's dead." But he you know, he took it in his stride. Yeah. And I went to see his show.
I remember you actually saying
he
was good.
Brilliant. He was so good. Like, he's so clever, so quick-witted. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't have thought. Like,
it's real. He's in contrast to his persona that he's doing, the landlord. He's a very intelligent man. I've heard him on podcasts talking about politics and stuff like that, like, and he's a very very well read and like, even it was like, name a country, he's like, "Name a country and we'll tell them what war we won," or whatever, like the English, and somebody would say, you know, South Africa or whatever, and he's like, "Well," and he'd like quote some really like
obscure
factoid of how in like 1645 whatever, and then somebody was like, "Ireland's like, that one's not over yet, okay, next." Another time, actually, this is more Faye, but like, her friend saw Chris O'Dowd at the Christmas Queens drag show that she was at, and her friend stuck her finger up at him. just because, like, her boyfriend, she said, like, "Oh, we're here, Chris O'Dowd is here," and the boyfriend was like, flip him off or whatever, and she's like, "My boyfriend told me to do this." Apparently he was not impressed.
I can't imagine he would be, to be honest.
You're trying to enjoy a night out and some random person.
And I'm not a big Chris O'Dowd fan, but I'm siding with Chris O'Dowd on that one.
I kind of like him. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, I can take him or leave him.
Yeah.
I think I've got some sort of disdain towards the IT crowd.
IT crowd's very good.
It's your man I don't like. It's the main guy.
Chris O'Dowd's the main guy. You're talking about Moss, Richard Ayoade?
I don't like him.
I know you're not talking about Matt Berry.
No. It's Ayoade. Don't like him. Anyway, listen.
Thank you for the text or
thank you,
email.
Finbar.
Yeah.
For the question. I think it's Fionnvar.
You say it as if you're suspicious of him. Finbar.
He says his name is... Let me see if I can get this.
Please follow up and let us know what the pronunciation is.
Yeah, please. You'd swear I haven't been Irish my whole life that I can't.
You're the worst Irishman. The worst Irishman I ever met.
Don't you dare say that to me, Terry.
Top five, at least.
Okay, fair news.
All right, well, you have
top
me there.
Top five, at least. Yeah. I will give you that.
Number one is that guy. I won't even say it. You remember your man they were interviewing, asking him about like Irish football?
Who?
The poor down and out sod. That viral clip when they were asking them all the teams, you know, Shelbourne, Pats.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, well, we'll put it in the show notes, I'm sure.
Listen, I'm going straight into the episode here.
Hit me.
First of all, the Troy McClure Muppet fight was top notch.
I just loved that it was like, you know, a movie for a rained out ball game.
Yeah.
Muppets go medieval.
And I like the fact that it's like the kids don't seem to really know who he is. Even though we see Troy McClure all the time, this is the first time they're actually asking.
It's the first time they're paying attention to him. Because they've seen him in like, you know, film reels in school and stuff like that. Like, you know, Grade A Moron was not too long ago.
Yeah.
So... You know, he's existed in their universe. But this is the first time they're actually, like, focused on him, I'd say.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I just like that whole... One, I like the whole family just sitting down watching it.
I love that.
And, like, it sounds like they really got Miss Piggy and Kermit to voice the... I mean, I'm sure it wasn't, but it sounded... I mean, I'm sure it's probably the easiest one to impersonate.
Ooh.
But,
Kermit? I don't know. Kermit's Piggy pretty tough, Kermit. Like... To do it properly.
Welcome to the Muppet Show.
Not terrible. It's better.
All right. The first half of it was better.
Better than my...
Go on.
No, I can't.
Go on.
Oh,
go on,
Piggy. No, I can't.
There's something I love more than you about to try something and then stopping halfway through and going, no.
I'll
make up a word there on the spot. Long net no.
I think I'd be terrible at improv. Well, who knows?
I think you're selling yourself short there, Terry. Anyway, next. See.
No, I don't have them here. None of the Muppet performers.
Huh? How about that? What else have I got?
I'll give you my Gonzo.
Yeah, go on.
To begin with, the Marleys were dead.
That's good. That is
Ben
good.
Johnson. Good.
I gotta give it to you, Terry. That was very good. Speaking of good, my next note is just Phil Hartman's voice, so fucking good. So I'm already appreciating
it. Oh, Princess Leia.
And I don't know if it's the fact that we see him more, like we've seen more Lionel Hutz than we've seen Troy McClure.
Troy.
Than we've seen more Troy. So this just, I don't know what it is. I was thinking, like, why am I noticing his voice so much in this? But it's because he's Troy. He's over the top. He's pure, unadulterated Phil Hartman in this.
Yeah, and he's doing so much more. Like you say, there's so much more range with, like...
Yeah.
I guess, like, with Troy, it's always on. And, like, because you're getting to see, like, a peek behind the curtain with Troy, you're getting to see, like, what he's actually like.
Yeah, and I think like he's shaped that character like Phil Hartman has. Like it wouldn't work without, because Hartman's got this sort of like shit eating grin type voice.
Yeah, you know hey there.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Just that like jovial, but like with a hint of something.
I always think of like Loaded Weapon 1, and it's like oh we think. It's funny, do we, Officer Davis? Why don't you make us all laugh? And he gets up and he goes like, hey,
he's
doing
stand-up.
Yeah, you know, he's doing like...
the perfect guy for it.
But like the casting, you can't actually get anybody better.
Yeah, He is just so good. I just spent this whole episode just appreciating him in various situations.
God, it's he's gone far too soon. Like,
oh, it makes me so sad.
And every time I think of it, I'm like, it's so tragic.
I was only thinking about it today. I was like, his fucking wife. Like, of all the things, like, for some reason, that seemed like, it's not that it seemed normal, but I remember when I was a kid, I just sort of put that off to like, grown-ups are crazy, Americans are crazy.
I'll tell you what it was. It's because it's in the period of like O.J. Simpson and, you know, all these big celebrity things. It's like,
I think he was dead before, well before I realized he was dead.
Mm.
And it all got sort of washed up in that crazy, like, couple of years, like, in America, as if, like, other years haven't been crazy. But, but yeah, just thinking about it today, it's like, his wife, like, such a, you know.
Anyway. It's tough, like,
I'm gonna focus on the positive side. You but
accentuate the
speaking
positive.
Of the next note I have, I can't remember what the line Fat Tony said. It's
no,
just
you're kind of jumping a bit because it's like,
go on.
He's like, all he's like, these guys are all over the road, and he's like crashing into cars, and then like you have the whole, you know, interaction between Wiggum and
all
Troy.
Right, Captain Rush, right?
He's like, I'm seeing stars here. Like, no, just one. I'm Drew McClure. You know, straight away he's on. He's like, I'm loving.
Plus the way his door opens up, yeah. Like, it's like, let's see you, like, down.
And like, that's another thing I love about it. Like, it's like there's so many references. And it's like the greatest story ever hooled, and they came to burgle Carnegie Hall. And like, there's so this is the
there's
most
so many of those
per episode. Like,
definitely.
He's like, put those glasses on, mister. Like,
it's like, they make you look like a nerd.
He's like, I'll rip up the ticket, but I am going to need a bribe.
Yeah.
then you get to Fat Tony.
Yeah, what was the line that Fat Tony said? Like, I just
well,
was cracking up.
It was
at
Louis, like, I thought you said Troy McClure was dead. And he's like, no, what I said was, he sleeps with the fishes. You see? And then
Tony,
like,
Tony, no,
I just
ate
a whole plate of ding da magoo. And like that in itself, that line there, like,
that's like a like a real writer's joke almost, because it's so over the top, like, and he delivers it so over the top. Like, I just ate a
ding
plate of ding-a-ma-goo.
It's like something out of Mafia.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Stupid Gavon.
Suck my Italian sausage. I was a fan of when Selma stamps his thing multiple times, and he's like, that took a lot of class.
Yeah, well, like, he's like, John Law tells me I need to wear these glasses. And like, again, she's like, you're Troy McClure. I remember you from such films as Meet Joe Blow and Give My Revenge to Broadway.
Yeah. He's just great. And then,
like, him, like, trying to read it as well. Like, he's like, look, Miss Bouvier. You know? Say by buying you dinner.
I love that. And
how bored he looks at dinner as well.
He's so
like, he's
bored.
Like, just doesn't want to be here. Like,
and then like they all like they know what it is. You know, she's like, thanks for holding up your end of the bargain. She's like, I had a pretty good time.
And like,
he's like, you need a ride somewhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's like, yeah, what do you want? Yeah, like. He's like, here's something for page one, fellas. And it's like, page 10. Great, like, another great gag.
I just love, and the next note is, I just love the fish fetish thread throughout this whole thing. I love that you never hear of it before or again. And it's just like, everyone knows, like, where rumors of his bizarre personal life.
Yeah.
You know, it's they just constantly keep harping back to it.
And like, what was it, like, who's the washed up? Has been now.
Yeah. Now, I always thought that Jeff Goldblum's character MacArthur Parker, I always thought it was MacArthur Park.
Yeah, that's the song. There's a song, MacArthur Park.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Kinks?
I tell you now, I don't think it is. It's a long one, because that recipe again, Donna Summer.
But yeah, I always thought, even at the time, I remember thinking, Because I always thought of the line, MacArthur Park, the agent. MacArthur Park, my agent. But no, it's yeah. Parker.
And so
you almost forget that Phil Hartman's so good in it. It seems like they've got two big stars in this episode.
Like, Phil Hartman does seem like the guest star, doesn't he?
Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like the Jeff Goldblum episode. It's the Phil Hartman episode, who's, you know, still in it.
And, like, for a couple of great lines in this one here. He's like, we haven't spoken in 8 years. Like, yeah, I haven't been working 12 years. Like, jury duty is work. It's like, you keep getting seen in public with human females and I can get you work in the entertainment industry.
Like, he's so far removed. Like, the entertainment industry. And then I love the line where he's like, that's right, boys, Troy's back from the gutter and he's brought someone with him.
And you know, the whole, that's too funny, I can't remember when I've heard a funnier anecdote. No, you tell one. Just killing it.
It's like a feast.
Yeah.
To be honest. And it's like, even one of my favorite Troy McClure little bits of you may remember me from was the leper in the backfield.
Yeah.
Where he's just going to throw it, the arm just comes off. That's it. Like, yeah.
But then when she says it, she's like, I once had dinner with a movie star and it was the most wonderful night of my life. And he's like, really? Who was it? George Segal? I hear he plays the banjo.
Brilliant. That line was, I do have it here, where it's like, guess you were wrong when you called them a washed up deviant, eh, Laurie?
Well, like, the whole, when she lights a cigarette, though, when Selma lights a cigarette, when she gets nervous, and then I always think of this, like, excuse me, I ordered a Zima, not emphysema. It's like, we don't serve contemporary California cuisine in your lungs. Please don't smoke in her.
And that was really what kind of won her over to Troy.
Gotta like.
Which for some reason, like, you would think that Troy, although I guess he at this stage he's copped on that being seen with her is helping his career, so he's just going along.
Oh yeah, Troy is definitely like.
Yeah, I forgot this was when he realized that it's going to do well for his career.
So Troy brings her to a special screening of his latest film, and in a great gag, it's The Muppets Go Medieval.
That's
brilliant. And then, no longer canst I conceal my love, my wimple turtle dove. Oh, Princess Fair, wilt thou grant me thy dainty hoof in marriage? Like, oh, Sir Lies-a-Lot.
Yeah.
Oh, Troy. And then when they're kissing, he's like, just a second, baby. Sprays her.
Spraying into her mouth. Yeah. The next note that I have here is the infamous Dr. Zaius song. Now, have I jumped the gun here, or did you want to get down?
No, I mean, we've done that E.T. bit, and then, like, they're moving into the house, so it's we're kind of a little bit ahead, because there's some great scenes in the house I want to talk about, where it's like, welcome to your new home, baby. It's fantastic. Garbage collection is Monday. If you want to throw out a box, you got to cut it up. And he's like, I'll be sleeping downstairs in the visitor's center. He's like, I'll see you in the morning and get ready for tennis. It comes on at 10. And then they kind of say, he's like, the MacArthur Parker rings him up and says, they got him the human in Planet of the Apes. It's the role I was born to play, baby. Which is something I use all the time.
It is, actually. I've heard it myself firsthand. And then it's possibly one of the most iconic songs.
It's the best. It's
the best
these
one.
These two are the best, I think. Like, back to back. It's such a great combo. And, like, we talked about See My Vest last year.
Which two?
Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius.
And then Finally Made a Monkey.
Oh, yeah. I always thought it was kind of like the same.
No, because it's jumping to the end of the play. Like, so. It's
right. I always just kind of view that as the same, even though it is technically at different points. All right. But it's just so good. It's almost like a flawless. And, you know, I don't appreciate comedy. Speaking of, let me put a screeching halt to the proceedings here. And gush a bit more. You've probably seen yourself on Twitter a fantastic rendition of Amendment to Be from our man, the Cable Crusader himself. An absolutely fantastic acoustic version. If I can download it, I'll try and play it right here. But it's so good.
I was listening to it again today. It's brilliant.
I'm meant to be, yes, I'm meant to be, and I'm hoping that they're out of find me. There's a lot of black birds who have got too much freedom. I wanna make it legal for policemen to beat them, cause there's limits to our liberty. At least I hope and pray that there are, cause those liberal free go too far.
I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about not only the song, I've been thinking about that version of the song. It's just been going around my head all day. Yeah. I'm an amendment to be alive. Anyway.
But just, anyway, back I'm to just the waiting for somebody like, good news, amendment, they ratified you.
But yeah, just great, all great. Just work. And like the Dr. Zaius song, great work.
Yes.
The monkey out of me, the chimpanzee to chimpanzee. Again, it is a line that I think of all the time myself.
Well, I remember getting really drunk at a friend's wedding and like doing Simpsons sing-along at 3 in the morning. And,
nice.
And this was like, Dr. Zaius got everybody in, and then when they're finished, you go straight into I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee. Oh, never make a monkey out of me. And then, like, you just hear the, like, oh my gosh, I was wrong.
It was all like, I'm sure this sounds terrible.
You're all over the place, Catwell. You're not in tempo either.
Help, the human's about to escape.
Get your paws off me, you dirty ape!
He can talk!
I can sing!
Ooh, help me, Dr. Zaius!
Dr. Zaius! Dr. Zaius!
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're also lazy.
Dr. Zaius!
Can I play the piano anymore?
Of course you can.
Well, I couldn't before.
This play has everything.
I love legitimate theater.
I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. No, you'll never make a monkey out of me. Oh my God, I was wrong. It was Earth all along. You finally made a monkey.
Yes, we finally made a monkey.
Yes, you finally made a monkey out of me. I love you, Dr. Zaius.
Get your paws off me, you dirty ape. He can talk. I can sing. And then, just, I don't know, the way it just kicks in. Oh, help me, Dr. Zaius.
Yeah.
And, the fact because that, Rock Me Amadeus, you know.
But, one of the apes just stand there, they're. Dr. Zaius. They're all just going up and down, and he's just standing perfectly still. That was great.
What's wrong with me? I think you're crazy. Want a second opinion? You're all so lazy.
Now, if I can move on to my next point. I just have, I love how drunk Troy and Homer are. Though thinking about it, it seems a little bit shoehorned in, but I guess they didn't really have a lot of time to redo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like they...
It makes sense that they would get drunk, I guess.
Well, yeah, like they're engaged already, and then like you kind of like... I'm looking at something here. Oh, yeah, that when the kids were in the pool. Sorry, just before we get into the thing. I did like that, like you're saying. Another, I'm trying to highlight every one of these. Like, I know you from. And it's hi, I'm Troy, your future uncle. And he's like, I remember you from such film strips as Locker Room Towel Fight, The Blinding of Larry Driscoll.
Yeah. The Blinding of Larry Driscoll. That's just one I know that the writers just have so much fun coming up with. Like, I get the impression that that's like their favorite little running jokes to write.
And then you get, like you say, Troy being stinking drunk.
Drunk. Like, Homer sobers up quick when Troy whispers.
That's the great thing about the joke, I think. He sobers up really quickly, and then the night of the wedding, he like doesn't care about it. But when he's locked, he's like, you know, when he tells Marge, he's like, it's good night, you know.
Yeah, and like he tells Marge and then just turns over. And then like when they're they're at the wedding and it's like, if anyone knows of any reason, and his brain's like, it's so obnoxiously loud. That made me laugh.
So then I was going to say,
yeah, go on.
Homer with the candy bride and groom that he calls it. And like he's like, did you hear like the little sound when it went in the stomach?
I didn't hear the sound bloop. In the stomach.
Like it's like you can hear it falling into the stomach acid, like
gross.
That's great.
I just remember seeing the thing working its way down his neck, like I was a big fan of the line. He's like, I got you a role with Rob Lowe and Hugh Grant. Like, those sick freaks.
Love it. Like,
exactly his kind of acting.
But even there, it was like, Troy and MacArthur Park is like, it's my wedding night. This better be important. I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. And even like Selma's trying to get him to come back and all, like it's his wedding night. Yeah. And he's like, in a minute.
He's like, on the phone, he's like, Team McSee.
The next note I have is I suppose I don't know if I'm jumping the gun. It's just when she's like, is this a sham marriage?
Well,
and he's like, sure, baby, is that a problem?
It's great, but like, MacArthur Park basically, MacArthur Parker has got him going to be McBain's sidekick. The new McBain movie. He's like, brace yourself. The new McBain movie.
Can I just say as well, they got the drawing of him spot
perfect.
On as well.
Like,
we were just talking about how they matched Donald Sutherland and your man so well. But I think they got a spot on with
that,
Jeff Goldblum.
You know what?
As well.
That's who it was. Remember they said they had to get him to slow down. That's who it was. Yeah,
Donald Sutherland, of course.
It's like when she's real crestfallen of like married for your career. He's like, she's like, don't you love me? He's like, sure, like I love Fresca. She's like, are you gay? He's like,
are you gay?
Gay? I wish. If I were gay, there'd be no problem. No, what I have is a romantic abnormality. One so unbelievable that it must be hidden from the public at all costs. You see?
Stop!
What I have is a romantic abnormality.
It's the turn into the darkness. It gets all ominous. No, what I have is a romantic abnormality.
What's so unbelievable that must be hidden from the public at all costs. You see? And she's like, stop, I don't want to know.
That is possibly one of my favorite Troy McClure moments.
I love it when The Simpsons get dark, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I love that like black humor. And they do it well, it's not like something like It's Always Sunny where it's kind of always pitch black. Like this, when they sprinkle it in, especially with these weird characters like Troy, like Mo, like, you know, it works so well.
It really does. And it, and just even the even like the choosing of the wording, a romantic abnormality.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Like, it's perfect as well. Yeah.
And then he's like, don't you want to be part of Mr. Troy's wild ride?
My next note is just, what a blockbuster episode this is. It seems like a big episode.
The Laszlo Panaflex. I looked this up, to be honest, when he's like getting his star, and it was like,
oh yeah,
someone's gonna have a star right next to me, so watch out, Laszlo Panaflex.
Yeah, what is him?
So Laszlo doesn't exist. Laszlo Panaflex doesn't exist. But there's this guy Laszlo, I think it's like Church or something like that, but he used a Panaflex camera. He was a cinematographer, like, so it's like,
oh right,
I think it's kind of saying like even he has a star on the walk of, you know, like this,
okay,
like the Panaflex is the can, the camera, and Laszlo is his first name, but it's like, so they're saying, oh, it's such a big deal. Exactly, yeah, that's the thing, I think. Like,
but so
even,
watch out.
But the but you kind of like, even without knowing,
you kind of get that. That's
like
the
it's
joke,
like, yeah, exactly. It's like, who? Okay,
no one's heard of him.
Yeah.
I was a fan of his fragrance, Smellin' of Troy.
Yes, Smellin' of Troy. Line.
And then when MacArthur Parker tells him that all the big roles are going to Family Men, he has to have a baby. And I love how foreign the whole thing is to Troy.
Yeah.
He's just like, he really doesn't know how to, like, what to even do, it seems. Like,
baby, what do I have to do? He's like, I'll get you a pamphlet.
Yeah. He's like, and she's like, why don't you come over here and make yourself more comfortable?
No, even though, like, Jeff Goldblum's reading of, like, I'll send you a pamphlet. Listen, you can't buy that kind of PR, but you can get it for nothing by having a baby, which, by the way, your insurance will cover, except for the deductible, which I'll reimburse you for if you get the part, which you will if you have a baby. And, like, it's just, like, brilliant. Perfect. Like,
that is perfect.
So good.
Great. Just great voice acting in general on show in this episode.
I mean, it always is top-notch in The Simpsons, you know, especially at this stage, but, like, they're really, the guest stars...
It's the guest stars.
In the last four or five episodes, they've been perfect. They've been hitting it out of the park. Like you say, Donald Sutherland, Kirk Douglas, you know, the two in this episode. And then if you go back to Lawrence Tierney as Don Brodkin, like, you know, it's just been fucking killing it.
How great. How, like
I know it's going to be. I know everybody knows that The Simpsons is great, and we're like, but it's just ridiculous. Like, if you take a step back, you're like, what a fucking run.
That's the thing.
What a run they're on here. Like, you know, it's...
And great. I mean, like, for a kid's... Like, I know at this age it's not really a kid's show anymore. I mean, it is as well. But, I mean, to get these sort of really classic old-time actors that they keep getting and making...
And modern, though. Like you say, like, Goldblum... Like this, with Goldblum, this time would be modern enough. You know, he's... Jurassic Park is only... couple of years earlier, like, you know, but yeah, like, it's just they're batting 1,000 with their guest stars, you know. Like,
I have to say, I'm absolutely loving season 7.
Crazy how good it is.
But then when he's trying to make the baby, and she's like, why don't you come over here and make yourself more comfortable? Like, and he's like, no.
Why don't you come over here? Like,
make yourself more
even like the wine, like, he drinks both glasses of wine.
Yeah.
He's like, he's so this concept's so foreign to me.
and then when because it's kind of getting towards the end where she's kind of saying to him, I can't bring a baby into a loveless marriage. Like, great, we'll adopt. he's still not getting it. And even the line where he's like, what was he talking about? Where he's like, remember how alive with pleasure they said we were?
It was like an ad they did for Newport. So I think Newports are smokes, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember how alive with pleasure they said we were?
Yeah, which makes sense. Because that's a very smoky tagline, you know? Feel alive with pleasure. It's Newports.
And then, so she kind of goes off then. And I kind of feel bad for Troy.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
not at all.
Kind of.
Not, like, and I thought it was...
he's so down on his look, like.
No, but he's back, and then he blows it again. Yeah. The stinger. I actually loved the end of this, where she's walking away with Jub-Jub, and it's like, even it's just like the ribbit.
Yeah,
and it's the lovely moon shot, and then it comes up like Oakley and Weinstein, and then straight to like the Entertainment Tonight, like, Newly divorced comeback kid Troy McClure has stunned Hollywood insiders, rejecting the supporting role in McBain's new one and coming up with his own pet project. The Contrabulous Fab Tramption of Professor Horatio Hufnagel. Will the gambit pay off? 20th Century Fox is betting it will. And then it just ends like
great voice. I love so that newscaster good, voice. Yeah. Well, listen, there ain't nothing to it but to do it, Terry. Should we get into ratings?
Yes.
Let me ask you something, Mr. President.
What did you
think of it?
Thought it was bloody brilliant. A home run, to keep that baseball analogy going.
Please do.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's what makes it great is that it's one story, right?
Yeah.
It's fleshing out a character that we've previously seen, but like really giving us loads of meat on the bone on this guy and everything. All the writing, it snaps, crackles, and pops. It's really funny. It sings, Andy. Pardon the pun. It's just fucking great. Like,
delightfully devilish.
It's an all-time classic Imho, and it gives Selma Selma's kind of the unsung hero of this one as well. Like, you know, we're fawning over Troy McClure, but Selma as the straight man to play against works so well.
It does. Like, you wouldn't think Troy McClure and Selma get married and all this. Like, if you see that on paper, it's like, ugh, Selma.
Yeah.
But it does work.
And it's just, like you're saying, you feel bad for Troy. Like, I felt bad for Selma. And even thinking about it, 5 years down the line, she would have eaten his hand off to have a child with him, and just so she could give her love to something, you know? She always says that.
She wanted one, yeah.
Yeah.
True, actually, yeah. I mean, I kind of feel bad for both of them. I just kind of felt for Troy because he seems so, he seems so kind of just stupid. I can tell he's not trying to be.
He's selfish. That's the thing. He's so self-centered. And he's really funny, but I find it hard to have empathy for him because he's this vapid. He's Zap Brannigan, you know.
He's only thinking. Yeah, he basically is.
Zap Brannigan is the next step from Troy McClure, you know.
Now, do I even need to ask who your MVP is?
It's going to be MacArthur Parker. Just kidding. He's a close second. It's Troy.
Team McC.
Yeah.
And what about a rating, Terry?
I'm going to give this one a 9.5.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Bloody loved it.
Is your top highest rated episode of the series.
Boom.
Very believable.
Yes.
Well, I would also say Troy McClure is my man of the match. And
MOTM.
Yep. And I would give it a 9.3 myself.
Wow, okay.
So second highest.
What does it have to get for you
to be my highest?
Yeah. I thought this one was definitely gonna be your highest.
What was the fourth episode of the series?
Bart Sells His Soul.
Yeah. Bart Sells His Soul was a 9.4. This is a 9.3. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but...
You know what I mean? They're my two highest ratings possibly ever.
Not mine. 9.9.
9.9, I know. I just bloody loved it. I love Phil Hartman. I love Troy McClure. I love The Simpsons. I love Jeff Goldblum. I love it all. So yeah, big love in for me.
Mm-hmm.
Was smiling from start to finish watching this. Can we get our plugs in now, for the love of God?
Sure. Where can people find us online, Andy?
Well, great question, Terry. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Put It in H Podcast.
Mm.
You can find everything we do on our Instagram bio. We got merch. We got our other podcast, What's So Great About. We got our latest episodes. We got everything. We also got our Patreon. Terry, why don't you tell them a bit more about the Patreon?
If you jump on over behind the paywall over on Patreon for the low fee of $5 dues, you'll get, like Andy said, our sister podcast, What's So Great About, 2 new episodes of that per month, and you get 2 bonus episodes, a grand total of 4 per month. There, all the good stuff is going on behind there. Really,
it's basically, good. Basically, if you like us, if you're listening just for the Simpsons content, and you could take us or leave us, it probably isn't for you. But if you like us and you would like to hear us discuss some non-Simpsons topics, that's the place for you.
So we've just finished our Marvel Cinematic Universe. That was our first miniseries on What's So Great About. And now Andy has curated a list of... He has put it down as 90s movies. Andy's always been a child of the 90s in terms of... I always thought about like how the 80s were figuratively. You're a child of the 80s. You're born in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm a child. I was a child of the 90s.
Yeah, anyway. Anyway. You always thought about how like 90s action movies were your thing. Where I'm like, no, 80s. You know, you got your Die Hards. You got your Predators. You got, you know, your Stallone, your Schwarzenegger. And to a lesser extent, your Van Dams.
I've got, and I tell you, every day I remember another movie that I'm gonna tack onto this list.
So first up on the chopping block for me is 1995's Broken Arrow.
I think it was 96.
It was 95, my friend.
I think you're wrong, Terry.
If you did the research,
I know a thing or two about movies.
Did you do the research?
Yes, I did. Okay. I did do the
research. Cool, excellent. Cool.
All right. Now, let me tell you right now. Go on, you keep talking there.
It's fine. Go for it.
Oh, dear. Terry. Now, it's interesting because I feel like a fool because I thought you were the movie buff here. And a movie buff surely wouldn't get the year wrong. But that's exactly what's happened, Terry. I said it was 96, and it bloody is 96. All right? Well, so you heard it here first, folks. And if you want to hear more of this action...
I looked it up last night. It said 95.
That's your old eyes. Yeah. You thought it said a 5. It was a 6.
Yeah, okay.
You want to wear those glasses,
mate. Sure.
But anyway, that's what we got going on over there on the old...
Now, if you can't afford the Patreon... I understand. Andy's folding his arms.
What do you got from this?
If you can't afford the Patreon, fair enough. You know, times are tough. I'm not going to say anything bad about you. But see the way...
I will.
See the way Troy McClure had his one star on the Walk of Fame. Well, guys, you know what I need? I need 5 stars. 5 stars. A review, a rating. It's the least you could do for me. It's the least you can do. 5 of those
he
stars.
Literally needs it for sustenance, folks.
I do. I'm wasting away here. Huge favorite. Wasting away.
Yeah, and Andy gets the brunt of it. I'm seeing him.
When I don't have my 5 stars, Andy gets the brunt of it.
It's true, folks.
Off mic. Throwing paper at him.
It's like, I'm trying to get all the stars I can, T.
Yeah.
So that'll do me a great favour, and Terry as well. And for those who have already signed up to the Patreon, great. Obviously, we're joking. If you can't, that's no problem at all. If you have given us a rating, great. Thank you very much. We're just happy to be churning out these podcasts for y'all.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun. Yawn aside.
It's late. Excuse me, folks.
Well, you better bring your A-game for that Patreon episode we're recording next.
I'm going to go grab my bottle of whiskey right now.
All right. On that bombshell, folks, we're going to leave you and say thank you for listening, and we will catch
you next
week. We will
catch you next week
for... Oh! Check out the t-shirt I'm wearing. It's my Back to Winnipeg t-shirt.
Yeah, very good.
So that's a little clue.
I think
for
it's
you there.
Bart on the Road is the title of the episode. So,
another absolute classic, so join us for that.
I can think of two things wrong with that title. Der großen Stadt, es war in Wien, war Vienna, wo er alles tat. Hatte Schulden, dann er doch hin alle Frauen. Und jede rief, na kann man drop me
Matthias. Aber Superstar, er war populär, er war so exaltiert, because er hatte Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rockidol und alles rief, da kann man rock me, Amadeus, du bitte. Und es war irgendwie no plastic money anymore. Die Banken gegen ihn. Woher die Schulden kamen, war wohl jeder Mann bekannt. Er war ein Mann der Frauen, Frauen liebten seinen Punk. Er war ein Superstar, er war so populär. Er war zu exaltiert, genau das war sein Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rocky-Doll. Und alle suchten noch heute Captain Rock Me Up. Come and rock me.